Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habegger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great day out there. Happy Friday Eve, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The 16th of March. Mm-hmm. It's not as sunny as it has been lately,
no.
But we'll take it. We'll take it. It's not snowing.
It's not snowing yet. Yes.
Yet. Yeah. Yet. March. We've got plenty of fun things to keep you distracted from the weather today, including talking to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center live or direct.
ruin that.
We also will be getting into some other fun stuff this morning. Seth, I want to touch on this with you today. For the first time in three decades, the U.S. has a new favorite dog.
Wow, okay.
The average person needs to sleep with how many pillows? That's how we're going to get into that.
Our sleep series continues here, yes.
How much drunk shopping do we do a year? The percentage of that. We even got a little bit of St. Patrick's Day conversation to have.
And drunk shopping on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That would make sense,
very
right?
Very stereotypical. Yeah. That fits, unfortunately. We are also going to get into plenty of other stuff. We have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour is going to kick off with our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our Pet of the Week today. We're looking forward to that, talking with Madison today and whatever furry friend we meet.
Yeah.
After that, we will get into some entertainment news. Got some interesting stuff there about Ryan Reynolds' new acquisition, or really a decrease, a minus kind of, but an increase in bank account.
Oh, okay.
Netflix in their subtitles, and we're going to talk about pop culture events that you wouldn't believe were only 3 years ago.
Ooh.
Feel a lot longer than that.
I'll bet you it does.
Time is a flat circle.
It is.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm here. I'm awake.
Yeah?
I'm raring to go. Yeah, March Madness, baby.
Yes, yes. Did you fill out your bracket?
I did.
Okay.
And I already made mistakes, so.
They haven't played. Oh, no. No, they have played some.
They have played some, and I think I've made mistakes on those already. But anyway,
so,
who cares?
When they first started doing these play-in games for the March Madness, I got them wrong, even though I was filling out my bracket after the games had already been played. Like, I just didn't know.
Yep.
I didn't look.
Yep.
This year, I did, though. I want to know the confidence people have in their brackets this year.
Mm.
I have never filled out a bracket and felt about 5 to 10% of confidence. This year, I feel about 4 to 5% of confidence in my bracket. I got down and looked at it. I'm like, I feel good about this. And I immediately felt horrible afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's a bad sign.
That's a very bad sign.
I should not feel good about this at all. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, oh, why did I do this in pen? Why?
You can change it before tonight. Yeah, with the game start. Yeah.
They can't. I don't know. I've got do you know who your final four are?
Let's see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I gave mine to Pam already, actually, but
okay.
I know I have Purdue. I think I really picked a real dark horse. San Diego State.
Nice.
Yeah, as I think in the
They're
final four. UCLA, and I can't remember the other one. Oh, shoot.
I remember who you told me you had winning it.
UCLA, I have winning it.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I also think that's a unique choice. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego State's a good team. That's not a bad team to see mm-hmm. get a run going there. They've got a nice opening match against Charleston, I believe, today.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, today. And then they've got Virginia coming up, possibly if Virginia beats Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia's not a bad team, but San Diego State's got that. The phrase you're going to hear the most this next month.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced guard play.
Experienced guard play.
You will
okay.
hear that phrase a number of times.
All
and
right.
it does actually mean something. It has actually got some fact behind it. It is also something that commentators throw out there when they don't know the team.
They don't
that
really
well.
Know what's done.
Yeah, they don't even know the team. Like, that's what you run into this time of year. Is you've got some great sportscasters that are really good at what they do,
mm-hmm.
but it's college basketball. They don't know these kids.
You can't follow every single
yeah.
team.
They even if they talk to the coach beforehand, they have
mm-hmm.
somebody say the name for them. They see him. And in real time, it's like, and there's number 11. There, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know his name. Yeah. He's number 11.
You got a quick look at their sheet, you know, as they saying that. And there's usually a little pause.
Yes.
And then they say the name because they're looking up their name. But yeah.
I've got Drake going on a little bit of a run. I have Xavier doing the same thing. But in my final four, I've got Houston, Gonzaga, Alabama, and Marquette.
All right.
I have Alabama beating Marquette, although I don't like that. I would like to see Marquette win that game. I hope I'm wrong. I don't even mind if it means I lose my bracket.
Yeah, that's right.
But I've got Gonzaga kind of upsetting Houston. And I have Gonzaga winning it all.
Really?
Gonzaga has come close many, many times. I shouldn't say many, many times. At least three or four times, Ed, that I can think of. They've had a good team for many years. This year, not as dominant of a team as usual. I think that is going to help them. Mm-hmm. I think that part of the problem for Gonzaga and teams like this that don't have the great conference play is that when they get to the final, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, the Finals, all of this, you run out of a little bit of steam. You run out of a little bit of the tricks in your bag and some of these things. And I think that's happened to Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. I think of all of the years that Gonzaga could win, this year is a perfect year for it, where nobody knows who's going to win this thing or who's going to do any good.
As good a choice as any. And you're right, because I remember hearing talk about that they finally got beat by a couple of their interconference, rivals.
Yeah.
So they actually got a challenge this year. So maybe you got something there.
We've got the WFHR brackets going. Pam has these collected. Pam is, of course, the safe in all of this and the brains in it. Because Pam does. I tried to take it over for her like from 2 years now, and she just won't let me.
No,
she's going to do it. She likes doing it.
I think she likes doing it. Yeah.
She fills out a bracket. She gets all into it. She does good every year, too.
Yeah.
But Pam keeps track of the scores for us and everything. So we'll have fun. We'll see how this goes and who gets bragging rights this year. Seth had it last year.
I did. And mostly because I think I picked Kansas to win. And they did.
Yeah.
So I think that was what really put me over the top.
You get one big one like that. Yeah. That'll do it for you. That's all right. Then. That works. That wins.
It worked.
That counts. We're looking forward to that and looking forward to March Madness kicking off today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy it, everybody. I wanted to get into this. This is a good story of the day, I believe. A 7-year-old girl in India earned a Guinness World Record as the world's youngest certified yoga instructor.
Seven?
Seven.
Wow.
The record-keeping organization said Pravati Gupta was 7 years and 165 days old, and she'll tell you that, when she was verified as the world's youngest yoga instructor for a female.
Nice.
They have a male and a female category for this.
Oh, cool.
Gupta, who started practicing yoga with her mother when she was 3.5 years old, was certified as a teacher by the Yoga Alliance organization after completing a 200-hour training course.
That's a lot of hours.
So it's impressive that this young lady is a yoga instructor at 7 years old. I believe it is more impressive that her parents got her to do 200 hours of training.
Of anything.
Get a 7-year-old to do 200 hours of anything.
Yeah.
That is beyond impressive. That should be a Guinness World Record.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm serious. Like, is that a Guinness record for like getting your 7-year-old to do something?
I don't think they measure that, but that would be an interesting. Hey, we should start making all these categories of world records that of everyday things that should happen.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Can you get your 7-year-old to do 200 hours of anything? You know,
that's a very good idea.
Not video games. No, you can't do video games. They can do video games for 200 hours.
I don't want. I feel like it would as much. As I do love playing video games myself, I feel like it would hurt my soul to hear what the world record is for longest amount of time playing video games.
No, don't look that one up.
I want to, and I don't. At the same time, I don't.
Horrible fascination.
Gupta regularly shares her love of yoga on her YouTube channel, Learning with Pravati, Pranvi. And the youngest yoga instructor, a male fellow India resident, Rihashi Sarani, was 9 years old in 220 days when he received his certificate in July of 21.
She's got her own YouTube channel already.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
It's a lot at a young age. And at the same time, I was seven dealing with quite a lot. I'm sure that there are plenty of other 7-8-year-olds that deal with a lot. And in all practical circumstances, she's got, a good family, a good surrounding support structure and everything. As far as the too much, too soon kind of stuff and everything that I worry about with some of the youth.
Yoga seems to be pretty non-intense, though, and what's one of those things that I think a younger person could do, it's not going to be too much for them, I think, because even my kids, they've seen, some yoga and then they like to do the poses and everything. So it's kids like yoga. So I understand that.
I did. I do some yoga before my workouts. Mm-hmm. I've got a handful of moves that I do and techniques that I know. It's so beneficial. I am able to. you should be able to tie your shoes without hurting.
Yes.
One of the things I think yoga did for me was that kind of thing.
Nice.
Where you just you don't feel the aches and pains as much as you do. You have a little more flexibility, more. And I think that there is a calm, a zen that comes with it. That when you get to a place with it where you're comfortable with your breathing, with just being, you find kind of, you get in a zone, you get into kind of a, right. And just kind of, it's so very, very difficult for me to take myself out of the moment, to be in the moment, to not stop thinking, feel, to just be. That's why meditation is so incredibly difficult for me and not many people like myself. Yoga is one of those things I found that really helps me kind of get as close as I can to meditation. I still haven't gotten to that whole moment of Zen or any meditation. I don't know if I ever will. But I know that I get every time I do it, I get a little better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I just stay as pack at where I am, I don't take a step back.
Yeah. Well, and for a couple of things. First of all, don't beat yourself up about that. People study for years to get to the Zen state. So worry about that.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing.
Second of all, I think that should be coming with yoga, that sense of, you know, that sense of peace. Otherwise, it's just like fancy stretching.
Yes.
You know, but I think if you're actually doing the yoga part, you're feeling that, what you're talking about. So.
By the way, fancy stretching is what the original name of yoga was. They're like, "Oh, this isn't working. This is, we got to change the name of this thing."
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound mysterious enough, you know.
Yes.
Fancy stretching. I don't want to do that. How about some yoga? Yoga. Sorry, yeah.
What's this about? We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your Friday Eve out there. It is March 16th, 2023. Let's get into our National Day of Calendar.
All right.
It's National Freedom of Information Day.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Very good one.
On March 16th in 1751, in a nation that was headed towards a rebellion that would change the world forever, James Madison Jr. was born in Port Conway, Virginia. He was raised on a tobacco plantation with his 11 younger brothers and sisters and inherited the plantation upon his father's passing. Showing the sort of fearless ambition and political savvy that would serve him well in the years to come, he then grew that plantation to 5,000 acres, became the largest landowner in Orange County, Virginia, and one of the most important citizens of the area. He would later come to be known as the father of the Constitution for drafting the United States Constitution and the United States Bill of Rights, as was the loudest voice of the time for ensuring that the government of the newly formed nation had held no secrets from the people it served. Freedom of Information Day is dedicated to that very concept, with the Freedom of Information Act being enacted on July 4th in 1966, and coming into effect a year from the date. It declared that every person has the right to get information to federal agency records that are not protected by one of 9 exemptions or special law enforcement record inclusions.
Mm-hmm.
This put into law the very concept that James Madison held so dear and ensured that citizens in the United States were able to obtain the information to which they were entitled.
In my opinion, one of the most important and groundbreaking pieces of legislation ever done by our government. Yes.
Give me a second, Seth, if you could just kill some time. I want to look up real quickly when Russia and China's day is for National Freedom of Information Day. Let me double check. Oh, no, they don't have that.
England. England doesn't even
let me
have
check,
that.
Let me double check that. Let me real quick. And nope, England doesn't have that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We complain about our government so dang much, and we should. We have a right to, and there's plenty of things that they ain't getting right.
Exactly.
But how often do we credit it for what it does right? How often do we credit it for the things that are going right, the things that are working, the things that we have not had to backtrack on or recorrect or anything like that? We've got to get better about this as a society of being able to balance things. You can hold things accountable while also giving credit to something.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite moves I ever saw, I believe Jack Benny I saw do this. Those I know this is an audio medium. But you're somebody's complimenting you, or people are cheering for you, and you're waving them off. You're like, mm-hmm. No, stop it.
Yep.
With your right hand, but with your left hand, you're like, come on, more. No, more. No, please stop. You're too much. More, please. I love the move. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's a little like that. It's a little like, hey, you can, hey, no, enough, government, you're doing too much. And also, hey, thank you for everything that you've gotten right.
Exactly.
I live in the greatest country in the world. I have freedoms that I don't even understand completely because I've never lived in a world that doesn't have them.
Exactly.
This is stuff that we can do. We can do both. We can appreciate both.
We can.
It doesn't mean that you don't hold other things accountable. I bring this up in big part because I'd like to see Democrats complimenting Republicans and Republicans complimenting Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a part in this world right now that is beyond dangerous with politics, where if I have an R in front of my name and you have a D, Seth, I cannot say you did something good or I like the bill you just passed.
You'll get attacked. Yep, by your own people.
How ridiculous is that? Are we both Americans?
Yeah.
I think we're both Americans.
Yeah.
So shouldn't I be able to we see this with sports teams do this. I've seen LeBron James compliment other players before. I've seen, athletes, Reggie White, mm-hmm. Talk about Mike Singletary at end.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen plenty of this go on. We can't do that? Come on.
Plus, hey, and this
grow
is,
up. Yeah. Grow up, country. At your age.
Plus, National Freedom of Information is one of the ways we can help keep it, we can keep it accountable.
Yes.
That's the way we do it, by making sure we know what's going on.
And that's how we find out about UFOs.
Yeah. I had to ruin it. No.
Yeah, I did. I had to ruin it. National Lips Appreciation Day.
I appreciate lips.
I'm very thankful for lips. Kissing would be very weird without them.
Yeah. You ever think about that? If kissing were with some other body parts, that'd be just, it seems so strange.
It seems very weird. We just bump elbows.
Put my nose in your ear, but whose nose in whose ear? You know, I don't know.
Yes. Whatever it would be feels a lot more awkward than what we're doing right now, which is already pretty awkward.
It is.
When you think about it. One of the most intimate, beautiful things we could do with each other. We also use our mouth for eating and all these other things that we do. But lips are great. Lips mm-hmm. are wonderful. I think that one of the things that I appreciate about lips is the same thing I do about our noses or our cheekbones or any of these things. One of the cooler things I think you can do is looking into your past and your own family's origin story and all that.
Mm-hmm.
For pride, sure, but I just think that history is cool and your own personal history is your own story. That's how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
That's your own book. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you look into those things, you start to find out and discover, I think, a little bit more about how we came to be the way we are. Why some people have bigger lips than others. Some people have straight hair and some people have, curly
hair.
Right,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
All these different things of when Pangea happened and our continents separated.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got some people closer to the equator, some people in the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stuff's just fascinating.
It is.
It's very, very cool. That's evolution, man. That's, mm-hmm. that's pretty darn cool. Lips are a part of that.
Yes.
That was my real stretch for lips.
For
me to find a way to talk about National Lip.
I'll tell you what I like. I like Lips Inc., man.
Yeah.
Going down to Funky Town.
Yes. Nice. Nicely done. Nicely done. Is that the most famous set of lips, the Rolling Stones or the mouth?
I got to say they got it. Yeah,
That logo.
Mick Jagger, which I don't want to think about, but Mick Jagger's lips are very famous, yes.
Now, was that the reason for the look? Because they never looked like his lips to me.
Oh, really?
They always looked like a pair of, lips, like maybe a pair of women's lips. But I guess that would make sense, of course. That's one of the more things he's famous for. But.
Yeah. For me, I think that's what it is. But anyway.
It's National No Selfies Day.
Are you listening, everybody?
Yeah.
Are you listening? Man, bugs me.
With technology advancing and the birth of social media, the selfie has become one of the most uploaded types of photos on a daily basis. New devices have been made to help accelerate its growth, and we can see its effect every time we access social media. Some people see the growth of the selfie as bad. This and the worst thing to come out of the accessibility of self-photography. While others use the medium to document their changes throughout the years, to change on a daily basis, and it may be immediately evident, but taking a selfie every day can help track those changes.
Mm.
Today's a great day for 24 hours to go without sending a selfie or anything like mm-hmm. that. we get into these, you know, there's people that I have Snapchat, and there's people I snap with every day that I send pictures back and forth with. Most of them are teachers or that kind of thing and stuff, but none of it is on a level that I've ever thought was too bad. When I read something like this, I think of the other things that I like about this. So the app like Snapchat or something like that, like most of these apps nowadays, they keep track of everything. Facebook has a history button that you can go to and look at what was going on years past.
Sure.
And since the beginning of all this, as I was just telling you, I'm a sucker for history, and I love history. So I love the idea of being able to document this stuff. We don't really have photo albums anymore. These are our photo albums.
Yes, these are the new ones, yeah.
So again, I think it's very easy to pick on the selfie thing, and I will be right with you on it. Especially when we have every year, what is it, like some percentage of people like that die from taking selfies?
Or trying to take certain selfies, yeah.
There aren't many worse ways to go out, if you ask imagine? Me. That is messed up.
I think you're going to need a look from St. Peter when you go up to the pearly gates there, yeah.
I feel like you could have lived a perfect life, and if you go out like that, he's still going to give you the, I guess you can go in, but I don't know. But I think that it's also a great idea, too, to remind yourself, hey, we lived at a point in time where we didn't have this. And we were okay.
Exactly. We
can do it without this. We can, if for some reason all the cameras on all of our phones went out, we'd live. We'd be okay. And it's never a bad idea to you know, take a moment to put the phone down, I think. National Artichoke Day. I almost choke.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Makes a good dip. Say that much. Artichoke dip is pretty darn good.
I know I've had artichoke. I just, I was so young. I don't even remember what it tastes like. Yeah,
it's probably been a while. The only problem is they're kind of futzy to work with, you know, trying to get because you have to scrape off, you know, the thing, and it's a little labor intensive.
It is. By the way, everybody, that was the reason why Seth and I don't do the kitchens open. that couple of minutes that you had right there. Something about the artichoke. You take the thingy off and you this. Grab yourself a nice big butcher knife. Put that butcher knife. Just go chomp it into that thing.
I think we just gave the girls a topic for
maybe.
How to deal with artichokes.
It is believed that artichokes were first harvested by those living in the Middle East. The plant is likely native to the Mediterranean.
Don't think that's how Mediterranean is spelled.
I don't think so. Mediterranean. That is one of the funniest typos I've ever seen. Mediterranean.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that what you call people from the Mediterranean?
Mediterranean.
I don't feel like that's right.
No.
The artichoke got to the U.S. in the early 1800s. They finally made it to California via Italian immigrants in the early 1900s.
So we have the Italians to thank for the artichoke.
Yeah,
that's cool.
My nana loved cooking with artichoke. I know that my family eats I wouldn't say plenty of artichoke, but they have over the years.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it tastes like. And I know that as picky as I am, I probably have not eaten it since I was a kid.
Probably.
And finally, it is National Panda Day.
Pandas.
They were the mighty pandas. Giant pandas are big, fluffy balls of fun and one of the most universally loved animals around. So it's no wonder that we have their own special day. Yet due to habitat loss and fragmentation, pandas are sadly considered to be a vulnerable species and require dedicated conservation to preserve their numbers. National Panda Day is dedicated to celebrating these quirky creatures and spreading awareness of the threats that they face in order to encourage efforts to protect them. The panda has been around for almost 20 million years.
Wow.
It is the oldest living species of bear.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow.
Any rumors you've heard to the contrary about them not being bears is completely false. They are, in fact, part of the Erizidae, or bear family. Although they do also have a fair amount in common with raccoons.
They look too bear-like not to be bears. I mean, come on.
While pandas have long been respected in their native China, their shy and solitude nature means that they're featured rarely in Chinese history and art. The likelihood of coming across one bear, let alone an embarrassment of pandas, the excellent collective noun for those animals.
An embarrassment of pandas. Oh, I love that.
That's so good. Has always been slim. Yet, with their clumsy and lovable character, they're incredibly popular, so much so that back in the 1980s, a Taiwan zoo even painted a sun bear black and white to try and pass it off as a giant panda.
Hey, wait a minute now.
That is messed
poor,
up, man.
Poor bear? Don't paint the bear.
Poor bear.
Yeah.
Poor bear. Anytime you can bring awareness to conservation, to the efforts that we're trying to hopefully make and get through to not only the rest of the world, but to China, about taking care of this animal, about taking care of the land around this animal, it benefits all of us. This animal has been around for 20 million plus
20
years.
20 million years.
Do you want to be a part of the generations that were around when pandas didn't make it?
No.
I don't think I want to be a part of that response. I don't want to be, I don't have that on my hands.
No.
We do something about this. Make sure that we care about this subject. We'll get into our national day of calendar for tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Where it is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right.
For now, we'll take a break. We'll get into news with Melissa. Programming note, did want to let everybody know, Mel had the great training session yesterday and everything, and a big shout out to Civic Media and everybody who was able to attend that. It went a lot later than expected, so she got her news in this morning and is taking the day to get some other stuff done and everything. And then tomorrow, she will be at the Legislative Breakfast that will be in town that the chamber is going to be hosting. We'll be talking about that in just a little bit, actually. We appreciate her being a part of those things. That does mean that she is not able to be with us, and Seth has to wake up early.
Yeah.
But as a dad,
I'm up early anyway. You're stuck with me, everyone.
We will get to Mel's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
If it seems like I've been lost, and let's remember, if you think I'm feeling older and missing my younger days, oh, then you should have known me much better, 'cause my past is something that never got in my way.
Had to get that oh no in there.
Yes.
I can't cut that off. I can't cut off Mr. Joel, the piano man.
That's right. If you listen closely, you can hear my wife singing along.
It's one of those songs, man.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us. 7:38 on the clock. Seth and James with you. Seth, you ever do this where you get going in the morning and you're rushing and you realize, I don't know what I'm wearing today? I usually get my laundry done on Sundays. It's usually my laundry day, and it's just me I'm doing. So it's just not a ton to do or anything. Mm-hmm. But it's been a really busy couple of weeks. And last Sunday I didn't get as much done. This Sunday I didn't even get to it because I had the kidney stone and everything.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't have a chance to. And Monday night I was going to get to it, didn't. Last night I was going to get to it, didn't. So I get going this morning and I'm like, I've got barely any clean clothes. I just threw on my Adidas. I feel like such a slob this morning, but it is thankful that it is not I'm not needed to be dressed to the nines necessarily or anything like that, but it's frustrating. I will say that. I don't know. It can't it has to happen to other people too. This can't just be me.
I really don't have
don't run.
What am I wearing today? Okay,
let's see.
Let me throw this on. Let me throw this on. Does it work? Yeah, we're good. Okay, I'm out.
This is clean and it's not walking by itself. So exactly. This should be fine. This should be okay.
Standing up in the corner by itself. Yeah.
We've got a bit of information we wanted to get to you about our Wood County, from our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. We'll get to that before the end of the segment.
Mm-hmm.
For now, we've got a new trend to tell everybody about.
Oh, we we do.
Yeah, here is a new trend that Seth and I definitely did not start. Would you be more offended if you were driving to work and someone gave you the finger or a thumbs down? Young people are supposedly ditching the bird. They're ditching the bird, and they're giving drivers the thumbs down instead. They claim it's more effective.
Okay.
Someone talked to a bunch of millennials and Gen Zers about it. Mm-hmm. Their basic argument is it's not as rude or crass, but actually more hurtful. One person described it like this. It's the equivalent of telling someone, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Oh, that I felt that. It wasn't even a real person saying it. Flipping someone off is also aggressive. So when you do it, their natural reaction is to get defensive and think you're a jerk.
True.
But a thumbs down keeps the focus on them.
Hmm.
It's a clear, it's a crystal clear statement that they did something wrong. Another person compared it to pushing someone's personal dislike button. And according to a body language expert, that actually might have a lot to do with why it's trending. Thumbs down has become the universal sign of disapproval on sites like Reddit and YouTube. So if we have a much stronger reaction to it, than we used to.
Right, because we see it a lot more than we used to, yeah.
Another kind of side effect of social media.
Yeah.
People have been posting their stories online, and it does seem to have an impression. One TikToker said she got a thumbs down while a while back from driving too slow, and she still thinks about it all the time.
Wow. Well, and I think it might be a generational thing. In fact, because they're so used to seeing the meaning of very strong disapproval. Think about if you're starting your YouTube channel, okay? And you know, because you're looking for views, you're looking for all these things, and the more, you know, up thumbs you get, the better you see that down thumb. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what did I do kind of thing. So I can see where that works. Now, I think they might be onto something, because I asked you, James, because I think I already know the answer to this, though. Was it worse to be yelled at by your parents, or for them to be like, I'm so disappointed?
Disappointed. 1,000%.
I mean, because you would feel the guilt would just be like, oh no, I've let him down.
I was really lucky. My mom never spanked us or anything like that. But the guilt, and I know I joke about this from time to time, but I'm 1,000% serious about this. When she would give you a look, or the look of disappointment, or telling you she was disappointed or anything, just thinking about that, I immediately want to call her right now while I'm on the air apologize.
I'm sorry.
And I don't even know what I'm apologizing for. I exaggerate a tiny bit sometimes on this one, but in all seriousness, that woman kept us in check with just didn't have to raise a fist.
Yeah.
Just her eyes and her guilt alone.
Yeah. Well, let's think about this for a second, because let's psychologize it. Let's think about that. Okay, so you give someone the finger. You know, that means you are, like they said, you're being aggressive, and it is kind of a, you know, it's like you're cursing someone out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's aggressive, and you immediately get defensive, and you also have a point, because it's like, look at this guy or this person, you know, they're flipping me the bird. What are you? Yeah, how about you? You know, that kind of thing, whatever. This is different, where it's just like, you did something wrong. I saw it. Kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe they're onto something.
We're seeing way too much in culture of people. It used to be, we're not going to go to their level. And now it's become acceptable to go to that level.
Race to the bottom, basically.
Race to the bottom. Yes, exactly. I love this. I love the idea. And I credit, and we don't do this nearly enough, I credit the younger generations for thinking of this, for doing something different, and for taking something up. Now, I will probably continue to give the bird from time to time. But I'm going to work hard to use this.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen. Where the finger has led to a brutal and god-awful fight.
Mm.
I've seen it at least once.
Wow.
I've seen plenty of times where the finger has led to road rage. Mm-hmm. I've seen those things. Now, I'm not saying that it can't happen with the thumbs down. I could see somebody chasing somebody down just to ask, hey, did you know, why'd you give me a thumbs down? But
I'm so confused. Yeah.
I'm just very confused by this. I don't want to fight or anything, but I'm just curious why this happened. But I think that anything that can make our society a little more classy to each other, a little more.
Yeah.
You know, why is it okay to be so crass? Mm-hmm. Why is it okay to look at people and put people on a pedestal, on a higher level that haven't earned it, that don't talk or act like it? Like, I got no problem if you don't want to walk with class or live life with any class or anything like that. That's your fine. That's your prerogative. Mm-hmm. But I think as a society, we should all be able to agree. That's what we're gunning for. That's what you want your kids to be. You want your kids to have some manners. You want your kids to have some class, to treat people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is supposed to be about. Quit forgetting what this is all about, everybody. Them. It's not about us.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about the next generation. It's about the youth. And the youth is getting it right. The youth is making moves. They are doing things. They are in a public office. They are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have the perspective at 24 that you can have 44? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
With time, you collect experiences, which hopefully give you knowledge.
Hopefully.
More data. So it's not about being older and wiser as just having more data to go mm-hmm. off of. But it is not to say that a 24-year-old cannot have life experience or have some perspective or have an idea of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more proof of it.
Yeah.
They got this right. We should have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
A finger makes you're going to their level. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you give them the finger, you're going to their level.
Yeah.
You're almost no better than they are.
Right.
You give them the thumbs down, I'm not sure, I don't think it's the same equivalent. I think it's more of this whole parenting kind of thing and stuff. And I love the idea of shaming people.
Well, think
that
of
that I am all in on.
think of this. You're something like this happens, and a 20-something does that to you. They have now taken the upper, like, I'm way more responsible than you are kind of thing. It's
absolutely.
Like, wow. Ooh. So,
I get that there's people out there that don't care don't see it that way. That's fine. But the more and more we create like that, the more and more we have a society of people that are going to treat each other with a grain of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we got to sing kumbaya together. I'm just saying get along, be able to live alongside each other and everything.
Because we have to. We have to live alongside each other.
If you think it's an extreme reach, I don't care. The violence that this country has experienced since the dawn of its inception
mm-hmm.
tells you a lot of this. And it's not like we're the only country with violence.
Oh,
I'm
of
not saying
not.
That.
Of course not.
But we were supposed to be better than other countries. We were supposed to be, we came in late. When you come in late, what happens? You learn from other past mistakes.
That's
you
the
learn
hope,
from
right?
the other countries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we didn't do a dictatorship, well, we learned from other countries. That doesn't work very well. That's not what we want to do. The reason we don't have a monarchy, well, that's what we've got away from.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we want to do. Let's learn and be better. Let's be a better country. Let's be an example for the rest of the world instead of being a joke to the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
which, spoiler alert, that's what we have become.
In a lot of ways. You were right.
We can have the last laugh. We can have the last laugh on this. We can turn it around.
We can
have do the thing that America may love more than apple pie and baseball. We can be a comeback story. We can be.
Wouldn't
our
that be
own.
Cool?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It's not just John Travolta coming back from the depths and all this and having a great movie career or something
like that.
We can be that.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it together. Let's agree to do it. Let's start right now.
Let's
go ahead and get on that and start by using the thumbs down.
Yeah. Let's start a revolution.
You know what? Here's another thing too. When people let you cut in. When you got the times when people are actually nice to you in traffic
mm-hmm.
and everything, and they let you cut ahead of them or something like that, give them a
thumbs up.
Give the thumbs up. Give a thank you. Give that. That also goes a long ways. And it has that class.
Let's highlight the good stuff that happens. Yeah.
It ain't hard. There's plenty of good out there. All you got to do is open your eyes to see it. Open
mm-hmm.
your mind and your heart to see it. It's there. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. Morning show, WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:51 on the clock. Seth and James here with you. We're going to take it to the top of the hour, then CBS News will come in and get you updated on your world news. After that, we'll be joined by our good friend Paul Trombley in the WeatherEye Weather Center with a live and direct update on Mother Nature. Get you ready for what's in store. We know there's some stuff coming.
It's a coming.
After we're done talking with Paul, we are going to let you know that what America's new favorite dog is.
Curious on that one.
Got that lined up for you. And the top 10 household decisions kids get to weigh in on. That's
we'll see
all
if my kids get to weigh in on it. That's what I'm waiting for.
That's all coming up for you. Right now, are you already regretting your St. Patrick's Day plans? You are not alone. You don't have to wait until you're hungover to regret St. Patrick's Day. Now you can start now.
Wait, start St. Patrick's Day now or regretting?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess you can pick and choose that one. You can start regretting any plans you've made right now. Turns out it's fairly common. A recent poll asked people if they ever make plans, then feel lazy or tired and wish they hadn't. Almost everyone said it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
36% said a lot, and just 8% said that they never feel that way. But real quickly, just pausing for a second,
mm-hmm.
everybody agreed that happens.
Yes.
That's incredible.
There's universal agreement.
That's hilarious to me and incredible that this is the one thing we all agreed on, that we all hate making plans, or we all have regrets of making plans.
Occasionally do that, yes.
The younger you are, the more likely you are to say it's true. Maybe because young people just make more plans in general.
That would make
more sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
56% of people under 30 said that they regularly regret plans they've made. But it goes down and down after that. Just 12% of seniors said it happens a lot.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting.
That's interesting. All right.
Yeah.
That is interesting. It's not just a, you know, St. Patrick's Day centric, although they're tying that into this and everything. That is one of those things. Why do we do this to ourselves? There's plenty of times I've done this, and I swear on everything I am that in the moment I want to do this, and I'm all in, and let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's tomorrow at 7? Ah. you know, it's just...
It takes the wind out of your sails a little bit.
Or how about this? I'm really bad at this one, too. We have plans at 7 tomorrow. Oh, I can't do it. Do you mind doing it at 8? Ooh.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't know why curious. I'm like this. I blame radio in part because I've got so much of my life down to, I'm going to put this many hours over here, this many hours over here, because I try to get too much into a 24-hour cycle.
Well, I think that's pretty easy to do. I mean, and I think it also depends on what you're doing, you know, what that thing is, okay? Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. Now, because it's St. Patrick's Day, okay, the cliche, you're going to go out and drink a lot, right?
Right.
So I can totally understand people like, I don't really want to go out and drink a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When I'm at it, I'm tired. It's been a long, especially on a Friday.
Yeah.
It's been a long week. I'm tired. I don't want to go and then deal with a hangover and all these other things. So, yeah. I'm not actually surprised that that's a pretty universal thing.
I was going to ask, you know, what it's like for you to make plans and then cancel them. But with kids, I mean, for one, if you do want to cancel plans, you've got the most built-in excuse ever been.
It's true.
But also, you don't really get to make your own plans. It's not about you. You don't get to do it, those kind of things.
You know, as the kids get older, you know, that happens more now. But still, you're right. No. And that's one thing. When I was, you know, by myself, single, not married, I hated canceling plans.
Yeah.
Because I always felt this, you know, this duty, you know, when I say I'm going to do something, I really feel I need to do it. And unless it's something really drastic, I don't want to cancel that, even if I don't feel like doing it. But with kids now, it's like, can we actually do it? No, we can't. Okay, all right. Yeah. Sorry, we're not doing it.
Yeah, we are definitely not doing it.
We're not doing it now.
You will not be seeing us.
No.
The Habhackers will not be making an
exactly.
experience. I'm with you on the hating the cancel plans. I really don't like doing that. There's too many times that I've had to do it that I even thinking about it right now, I'm chewing on and I still haven't let go of that. I'm still bothered by. With that, though, I also appreciate when people have to cancel plans with me that they do let me know.
Exactly.
And that immediately already makes me feel better in the situation and I'm not... I don't know. I'm not bent out of shape about it. Am I disappointed? Yes, but I'm not angry. No, there we go. There's my mother for you. There's her impact right there. As I was saying it, I felt the spirit of Pam Stern Mailoff on my shoulders here.
And it's way better than just not showing up.
Yeah.
That's tacky. That's not cool.
That is not cool. No, that I agree with 100%. I don't know if this is going to lead to anything as far as like, us understanding this. I hope that it makes a more universal understanding of when somebody does do this, that you're like, well, hey, I've done it too. I get it. It's understandable. Maybe even in a stretch of a way, it shows how much more connected we are. This is another thing you can add to the list of things that we have in common with our fellow human beings.
Yeah. So next time, if someone does that to you, you know, cancels plan, just realize that we've all been there.
Yeah.
And I think we can all take that with, you know, a little more grace.
Plus, don't people have a backup plan? Like, I again, can't be the only one doing this, where I don't do this with everything in life, but with a lot of my life, I've got backup plans. I've got things that I if this cancels, I'm doing this kind of thing.
Yeah. I think for sure. I don't think there's a lot. Well, maybe. It depends on how tired you are, I guess. Just cancel and go and take a nap or something.
There's always that. There's always the nap.
There's always the nap.
You always have that in your back pocket.
Sorry, I'd love to come, but I got to go take a nap.
I got this nap. I got to get. I like the idea of treating a nap like it's work. I got to get this nap done. If I don't
get it in, man.
If I don't get it in by one, I'm going to be in trouble. I've got to get this in. It's time sensitive. Yeah. I got to go.
Nap is time sensitive. Although we did learn that yesterday, that naps are time sensitive, so you can use it as an excuse.
Don't feel bad if you have to if you make plans and have to cancel them. Just let people know ahead.
Just let them know, and you'll be cool. Yeah.
Wanted to touch on this. They did announce the time and opponent for Wisconsin's NIT tournament as Wisconsin's moving on to the NIT tournament. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we will be covering those games right here as your home of Wisconsin Badger sports. We have the Badgers lined up for this Sunday at 11, taking on Liberty. The mighty matchup, the long rivalry of Wisconsin versus Liberty. No, that doesn't exist. But it should be a good game.
We gotta we gotta look up where Liberty is, because I have no idea where Liberty College or University where they're located.
It's in the South.
Okay.
One of the more dangerous things in sports is having a team against back against the wall, especially if you're telling them that their coach is probably going to be fired.
And that's true.
These you may not like guard or what have you or not, but these are the kids that he recruited, and these kids tend to seem to like him.
They like him,
and they're going to be fighting for him. So I think it's going to be interesting to see Wisconsin throughout this tournament. And I think they're a better team than Liberty, so they should be moving on.
I think they should
win. Of course, we have Marquette basketball also lined up for this weekend as well. We'll let you know about that when they finalize that the times for that one. And Seth had a note for us from our friends at the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department.
Yes, we have. It's come to that part of the season. So all the snowmobile trails have been closed for the season, but this weekend, the last weekend for tubing and skiing at Powers Bluff Winter Recreation Area, they will be open Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4 p.m. Tickets may be pre-purchased on Wednesday and Thursday through their website. All remaining tickets will be sold on-site prior to the sessions. The cross-country ski trails and multi-use trails will remain open, but will not be groomed anymore this season. So, yeah, we're coming to the end of winter sports here, everybody.
Yeah, keep that in mind, and a big thank you to our friends at the Parks and Forestry Department. Take a break, come back with CBS News, and a live update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center at WFHR, locally grown radio.